while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, family. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers present here. And good morning to those who are listening via the various platforms. Happy Mother's Day to you too. As I sat there, I couldn't help but just reminisce. It is Mother's Day after all. I couldn't help but just reminisce and just think about Mary and how she was such an important part of that story that we so much speak of and rejoice about. How she was chosen by God to bring on this earth what we deem as victory, our Lord Christ Jesus. And the Bible says she was chosen for this very purpose, that she might carry the glory of God. Mary, a 16-year-old virgin. Mary, a mother of all mothers. So I celebrate Mary today, and I hope that's okay. Praise God. So we can look to her and be encouraged. And I know that much has been spoken about mothers and those who have mothers who are absent and those who have mothers who are perhaps deceased. I also want to encourage mothers who are without their children, mothers who maybe perhaps have fragmented relationships with their children. I want to encourage you today. As we celebrate mothers, I want to think about Mary as a mother. Praise God. I want to think about Mary as a mother. Choosing to believe the truth is the subject of today. Choosing to believe the truth. I will read the synopsis before I begin. So, in respect of their beliefs, faith plays a part in the life of every human being. The effectiveness of that faith is determined by who or what we have faith in. As Christians, our faith must therefore line up with what God's word reveals to us, choosing to believe the truth. In the book of Romans, Paul so beautifully puts this analogy that as human beings, we are bound by choice. We are bound by this choice that we must decide whether to believe the truth or not. Now, obviously, that is subject to age. Some people live and die before they are able to make that choice. But for us here present today, who are of an age to decide and to make that choice, to believe the truth, we are bound, says Paul, to decide and to make a choice. Whether you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior or whether you are thinking about that choice, whether to believe or to stand on the truth. Praise God. He so beautifully puts it, and I love the way he puts it. He said, to what you choose to give yourself to as slaves, you are slaves. Whether slave to sin, unto death, or unto truth, which leads to righteousness and everlasting life. We all have a choice to make. We all have that choice to make, and it is an individual choice that we must make. Amen? So what has God revealed in his word? Since our idea of truth must be taken from the word of God, what has he revealed in his word to be truth? Outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are famous philosophical characters or people, such as Socrates, who argued that absolute truth or wisdom is knowable, and that we communicate best when we communicate only that truth. His student Plato went further, saying that one can arrive at the truth through the method or a process of questioning and testing. So truth never wins in court as we know it. Sometimes it does, but that's subject to the events. So we know that our judicial laws or systems are founded in this, that a legal fact-finding process is based on a witness report about sources of information such as eyewitnesses, testimonies, and scientific measurements. So truth, even in our court, even on the laws on which we base our societies, even there, truth is not determined by truth, and there can be many truths. And this truth is only determined by a witness of either a scientifically measured fact or the witness of many people of the event. Truth. What is truth? According to philosophy, there are three types of truths. There's objective truth, normative truth, and subjective truth. Objective truth is what exists and can be proved in this physicality. So we are seated in a building. That is an objective truth. We are seated in a church building. A normative truth is what we see as a group, or what we deem as a group to be truth. So we can all agree that the room is warm. So that truth is subject to the majority vote. Subjective truth is subject to the person's worldview. So subjective truth is according to me and what I think, what my experiences have been in life. There are different types of truths, and different things can be true. The word truth in nomadic Hebrew is emet, and it means the whole truth, beginning, middle, and end. This word emet is the Hebrew noun translated to English as truth, reality, fact, actuality, reliability, sureness, firmness, faith, faithfulness. It comes from the three-letter word root aman, to confirm, to support, be faithful, to trust, and to believe. Now, in my research of trying to understand what truth is, or what is true, I find that in all its definition, it only points me to one thing, and only one thing fulfills all of its definitions. And that one thing is the word of God. Outside of him, there can be no truth. He is the absolute truth. He is reality. He is fact. He is actuality. Jesus is an objective truth. He existed, and he can be proven to have existed physically. And we know him to be true subjectively because we have experiences to which we can go back and look and see, oh, I know this cannot be anything other than the truth. This is an undeniable fact that I have experienced as an individual, and I know it to be true. He is subjective. He is normative, and we can all agree in this room that he is God and he is true. History itself points to Christ. He's story. He is the truth. He is true. The word tells us that truth, that we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. So how can we know that we know the truth? We know that we know the truth when we are free, or we are certain that we are free. There is one thing about us humans that is sure, and is that sometimes we tend to have amnesia. And I love the concept of church, because it's almost a reminder to us. Every Sunday, the Lord says, gather together that I might remind you of the truth, because life itself is not without its challenges. And this world, and I'm not talking of the world, I'm talking of the spiritual world that the Bible so refers to, draws us away from that truth, and it has its own definition of truth. And it tries to almost darken that light that we so receive from Christ when we draw near to him. And it creates an obscurity where we cannot see clearly. But the word of God is light. Amen? The word of God is truth. The word of God is the truth. It is the absolute truth. And it cannot be unproven. Many have tried, but have failed and given their lives to Christ. Those who deny continue to deny, but they know the truth. But in us as human beings, the word tells us that the Lord has given us a witness in us of our maker. We know deep down what the truth is. Amen. We know the truth. And because we know the truth has set us free. And that is irreversible. Once you have known the truth, it cannot be reversed. The word of God is Jesus, the beginning, the middle, and the end. The whole Bible points to him. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. It points to his birth, his death, his resurrection, his victory. He is our Lord Jesus. He is the truth. And because he is firm and unchangeable, he is actuality and reliable. He is sureness and he's firm. We can stand on this, that he is Lord. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And now God spoke that word, and it went and accomplished that which it was sent. The word is the light of the world, which we now know is Christ Jesus. He is that light. God said, let there be light. And he saw that the light was good. The light gives way for the truth. Jesus is the truth. Many have tried to read the word of God as if it were a novel, and have come to not know the truth because they have not known the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light because I bring clarity. I separate the truth from the lie. Amen? His word is true. God is faithful. But how does he demonstrate his love for us? Jesus is the truth that sets us free. God's word is true. And I'm going to read a statement that God gave me. You know, sometimes when you're preparing for a sermon, and God just gives you a word. I want to read it as he gave it. God's word is true, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the truth is the life of Jesus, which is to be manifested in us. And when we compare his life to our own lives, and we see how enormously different the two are, then a light is turned on for us. The truth is that light which shines into our lives and reveals what we are really like by nature. It reveals the way that we must walk. It transforms us. We are convicted of our sin and our fallen nature when we encounter Jesus. He shows us the steps that we must take in order to become light, that others may see his glory. The living word of God sent to us as a sure and visual covenant between us and God. He is the truth. Jesus stands as the word of God. How do we know someone? We know someone by knowing their word. Unless you speak to someone, you cannot know them. Unless you have a conversation with me, Alan, you cannot know me. It's through speaking to me that you can understand who I am and what's inside of me. Or by seeing me speak to another, you hearing my words. Jesus is the word of God personified. He sends his word that we might visibly see his love. And when he sends his word, he says, my word will go and it will not return to me void. I send it that my people might know that I am with them. It's like a contract, a covenant, the Bible says. It's a contract that cannot be reversed. A covenant signed with his own blood. For he said, my Lord sat next to my Lord and he said to my Lord. So it's him. The Bible says he wrapped himself. He came himself. He said, who shall I send? It's his word and it's sure. He says, I hold my word above my name. I will not relent, and this is my covenant. I will not change it. He signs it in blood. Choosing the truth, choosing to believe the truth, is choosing to believe God at his word. Choosing to believe that contract, that one-way contract, that covenant that he signed with his blood. An undeniable act of love. And every time we think and look at the cross, we can be reminded that God will not turn his back on us. For the Bible says that on that day when Jesus hung on that cross, he turned his back on his only begotten son. But never again to turn his back on us, on humanity. It's his covenant to us. A sure word. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man can boast. So it's not a matter of how much faith or how little faith. It's God's faithfulness. It's his faithfulness. And when we choose to believe the truth, we choose to believe God at his word. We choose to honor him at his word. We choose to believe that he is true. Amen? Amen. Colossians 1:16, our entire life of trusting Christ is itself by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. So what shall we choose to believe? As Sister Cheryl said earlier, I don't know what season you find yourselves in, but I know that we all have a choice to make, and it's a daily choice. It's a daily choice, whether you have already given your life or not. It's a daily choice. As you rise in the morning, you make a choice whether to believe the truth or not. There is no in between. Amen? What will we choose to believe? There's a famous story in the book of Daniel of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There are figures from the biblical book of Daniel. And in chapter 3 of that book, The three Hebrew men are thrown into a fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, the second king of Babylon, for refusing to bow to the king's image. And here are these three Hebrew boys, determined that they will not turn their back on their faith, determined that they will worship no other god except the Lord their God. They are thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, the reason why I share this story is because of what happens next. And when they are thrown into the furnace, I find it very interesting that God did not prevent them from entering the furnace. But what he does is so beautiful. He comes into the furnace with them. They make way. It wasn't a matter of how much faith they had. No. But they make way for God to demonstrate his love. They make way for him to show his love. They did not question, why us? We who have distinguished ourselves from the other young people in our generation, why us? We are exiled to the point of being thrown in a furnace. We know that there's nothing God cannot do. We know that he can do all things. And we know that to him nothing is impossible. But why, God? Why? But because they trusted in him and they chose to believe the truth, God used their lives as a platform to demonstrate his power. And the Bible says as they were in the fiery furnace, there was a third person in there like the Son of Man. And the Lord demonstrates his power. They were not touched by the fire. And when they came out, the word says that neither did they smell of fire. Bear in mind, the fiery furnace was turned up to the highest that it could have been turned. And sometimes life will turn up to the highest that it can be turned. And we question God, why? But I want to encourage us today that when the sickness does not heal, or the provision does not come, or the answer to prayer is not what we hope for, that we should choose to stand and continue to stand. Paul said, stand. When you have done all to stand, stand. Continue to stand. Stand. And I don't stand here as someone who just wants to preach a fancy sermon. I choose to stand. My being here today and sharing this word is me choosing to stand. Even though I don't understand the purpose, but I stand regardless, hoping that my life will also be a platform for his love. That my voice will be used for his love. But what will you choose? Will you choose to stand? Standing on the truth and his promise. Because nothing else needs to be done. He said, all it is finished. All has been accomplished, and whether you are healed in this life or the next, or whether you glory in this life or the next, or whether you become rich physically in this life or the next, it is finished. There is one sure thing, that one day we shall all glory in him, and at the twinkle of an eye we shall quickly be changed. And let us not take our eyes off of that focus, that goal for which we run that race. Let us stand. In him, I want to encourage us to continue to stand. Because sometimes prayers will not be answered. And sometimes we may not have an understanding or the answers to the questions that we ask. He might not answer them now, but I assure you, he knows what he is doing. And we must trust in him. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? Because he is faithful. Not that we have faith, but he is faithful. He said, if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed, it's more than enough. So it's not our faith, no. But it's us choosing to stand and believing in his faithfulness. Isn't that beautiful? That even he comes in and becomes our faith, that we can trust in him. He wrote it with his blood. It is sealed. It is done. Let us continue to trust in him and continue to stand. And in all that we do, continue to stand. Stand believing that he knows what he's doing. That his plan for us is of good and not of evil. That we shall surely one day rejoice with him. And I'm sure when we see him, those questions would have been gone. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee, James 4, 7. Stand. We choose to stand this morning.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.